Joshua chapter number one. I want to talk about courage. I want to talk about courage. Amen? It says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Father, I reach for you because we need you today. We don't need a sermon. We need a fresh word. A word is what we need. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Coming up on the Jordan after 4 decades of wandering in the wilderness. Oh my goodness. And it's at flood stage of all things. It's overflowed its banks. What are we going to do with this? Now, should we wait till the water subsides or trust God? And they trusted God. The priests were commanded to put their feet in the water with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders and for everybody to line up behind them. And when they did, the waters parted. God sent them over on dry ground into the land of promise. Children of Israel had been in Egypt. They had lived over 400 years in that place and came out with a slave mentality. And that's why God waited 4 decades to bring in a new generation to the promised land, because they couldn't shake it. They were constantly negative. They couldn't believe the promises of God. Listen, if you don't believe the promises of God, you're going to end up with a slave mentality. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're not going to get where God intended you to go. Israel comes up out of Egypt. Instead of believing God, they're always questioning God, always question the man of God. And God allowed a whole generation to die off in that wilderness for 4 decades because he wanted all the unbelief to go away. And then he said, Joshua, I'm going to take you and the next generation into the promised land. Moses is gone, and sometimes God has to allow things of the past to go away in life so he can take us to new places. Amen? Sometimes we're not comfortable because it's new. But sometimes God has to say, listen, I'm closing the Red Sea behind you so you can't go back. This new generation is about to enter their promised land. And God says, now that you love the Lord, you're going into the land of promise, and every place that belongs to you that I promised you will be yours. He did it for Moses. He did that for Joshua. And if God did that for them under the old covenant, what will he do through the blood of Jesus in the new covenant? His blessings are ours. But we need to be sure that we get practical things in place before the blessing falls on us. Is our credit right? Have we saved some money? Do we have a plan? Do you work hard? You have to tell the devil, I'm getting my house in order. God said you deserve a godly spouse. You have to use faith, and you do the right thing, and you don't go sleeping around. You wait for God to bring you what belongs to you. God said every promise is yours. Every place you walk on is yours. And here's what he tells us to do to obtain it. Are you ready? No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. What a great promise that God's made. Be strong and courageous, for you're the one who will lead these people to possess all of the land, he goes, that I have planned for you and swore to the ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything that you do. God told Joshua to be strong and not afraid. Then he turns right around and he says, be strong again. And this time he adds, be courageous, because he knew he was going into the promised land and it wouldn't be very long that the giants would make themselves known. And about the time you get close to obtaining your promise, something always pops up. The enemy is not going to just roll over and allow the promise to fall into our hands. You thought you had everything buttoned up, but you have to always be strong and remain courageous, You can't be doing drugs. You can't be stealing the tithe. You must be obedient to God's word. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. If you want to be blessed, you do what God says. Whether in Yuba City or New York City, no matter, wherever I am, if I'll do what God tells me to do, I will have success where I go. I feel a little preaching coming on here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. From where? Your mouth. Careful what you're saying. The word is to be in your heart and come out of your mouth. The word of God, it's not to depart from you. You shall meditate on it occasionally. No, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. If you have the word in your heart, you need to speak it out of your mouth. And you're in the word day and night. What does that mean? I have a job. I can't be reading God's word all day. No, it's not what he's asking you. You're meditating in it. You're constantly reviewing it, chewing it, bringing it back up and say, you know what I read this morning? I need to be able to apply that in my day. If you have, it needs to come out of you. It needs to start pouring out of you, right? And unless I'm in the word of God, I'm going to be trapped by the adversary. And this is what blows my mind. Then you will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say God will make you prosperous. It says you will make your own way prosperous because the word of the living God that lives in you begins to come out of your life and the way you live it because you have the word in your mouth. You've meditated in it day and night. You've obeyed what was in it, and that makes your way prosperous. God tells Joshua, you're going to face a lot of enemies in the promised land. Just because I parted the River Jordan for you to walk into it doesn't mean that you're just going to walk in and everything is handed to you. You're going to have to clear out some of these cities. And if you'll be strong and courageous, I will be with you. I will give them to you. And I want you to understand, courage overcomes fear. It trumps the spirit of fear. Now, fear attacks all of us. I don't care who you are, what the color of your skin is, how strong you are, how much money you put back. Fear attacks everybody. Have you ever been involved in a car accident? Yeah, of course. Somebody ran a red light, didn't pay attention, and all of a sudden you're stunned, and you get out of your car for a moment, and now every time you approach an intersection that looks kind of like that one, and there's another car heading into that intersection from the other direction, you know, you kind of tighten up because you go, wow, the last time that happened, it wasn't a pleasant experience. So what do you do when fear begins to get a grip on you? What if some bad experiences have caused a chain reaction in your life, and every time something similar begins to happen, you get fearful? What do you do when you're standing on the word, but fear begins to grip your heart? The word of God neutralizes fear as nothing else can. Remember, God said, be strong and very courageous. And he added, the word cannot depart from your mouth. This is not a casual matter. If you're a Sunday going to church saint, and then you live the rest of the week according to your own rules, whatever I think is good, I'm going to do it, then you're going to struggle with this message and this truth. This is a message for people who are serious about defeating every fear, conquering every fear, willing to get into the word every morning and then meditate through the day on what God's put in your spirit and then speak it out of your mouth, which means you practically live it out. Who will stand on the word? And whoever does gets victory as a result. And God told his people that every place they walked on would belong to them. He told them you were going to have success if you obey the word of the Lord. And as they did, he commanded that they would be blessed. They would be more than conquerors when they obeyed his word. That doesn't mean that we are perfect, That doesn't mean we never sin. It doesn't mean we never make mistakes, but it simply means we're not living a lifestyle of practicing sin. God wants us to know if you put him first, he will strengthen you. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So I have to seek him. I have to draw close to him. And if I will not allow compromise in my life, he will command success in my life. Say success. If I diligently obey God, he commands blessings my way. Deuteronomy 28 is full of that. If I diligently obey him, he'll command that. That alone ought to make somebody put away a habit that is harming you, damaging you and your family. That alone ought to cause you to want to put aside any immorality. It's tight, but it's right. You know what I'm saying? And the reason I have to shed sin from my life, I'm determined to overcome every fear in every area of failure in my life. When my conscience is not clear, the enemy can play with that and create great fear in my life. The reason I have to put the Lord first is because I want to be ready to be blessed. Sin opens the door, and boy, when you crack the door, the enemy is waiting at the door. Remember what God told Cain, who slew Abel, the enemy is waiting, crouching at the door. When you open it, he's coming in. And when he's on the inside, he's looking for a way to tear you down. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when sin opens the door, you say to the devil, come on in, steal my family, steal whatever you want to take from me. That alone ought to make us want to quit practicing anything that gives him an open door. You will never overcome the spirit of fear, never see that spirit destroyed in your life as long as you continue to disobey, willfully disobey the word of God. You'll not defeat the enemies in your life. If you think, oh, if I just show up on Sunday and then I kind of traffic with the enemy all week, no, it's not going to work that way. This is a day-by-day walk with God. God told Joshua, said, Yeshua, be strong and courageous. Courage is about being strong even when you don't feel strong. Courage doesn't mean you're not attacked by fear. Courage doesn't mean that fear won't come looking for you, that fear won't pounce on you. Courage means I will press through my fear because I know the promises of God. Courage is about pressing ahead when everything is against you. Courage is about confronting someone you are afraid of. Courage is about pressing through your fear because you're determined to walk by faith. My circumstances say, I can't afford the tithe. But by faith, I say, I will never allow anything to keep me from putting God first. So you step out and you bring God your tithe. You bring it to him. Then something begins to happen. The children need money for something. A bill comes due unexpectedly. There's sickness in the family, and you step out by saying, I have put God first. This is the test of my life. Do you give in to all the pressure and say, God, I will bring you what is yours, maybe, if I can afford it. But no, you say, God, I'm bringing what is yours to you, and you, God, are obligated to take care of me. That's the way God has built the contract. Amen? I'm obligating God to keep his word with me when I obey him. You will struggle to live a victorious Christian life until you learn to first put on courage when you feel fear. It's a decision. God doesn't want you to be afraid of one single thing. He wants you to cover everything in prayer and walk in courage. Even when you have a bad report, God says, put on courage. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's the way you get up in the morning. I was listening to Jason Redmond talking a little bit about that. He said, it's the team you've assembled around you. It's the mindset with which you approach everything. You don't have a crowd around you that's talking negativity. You're talking what we can accomplish, how we can get it done, how we can defeat the challenges. Even when things are not the way you want them, we understand we make a decision to go with God's way and go with his presence. The devil's plan for your life is to get you to collapse, to retreat, to draw back, to withhold, afraid of situations. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for I have given you the land. God said, healing is the children's bread. So when you face illness, listen, God's healing belongs to you. God is saying, come and get it. It's the bread I have for you. But you have to stand on the word. You have to fight for what belongs to you. And those waters at the River Jordan were not going to part until the priests and the people of God were willing to put their feet in the raging waters and say, we're going over right now because God promised this to us. See, the benefits belong to us, but we have to act in faith. You have to be strong. You have to be courageous. And the word says, Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried away my diseases. And that's why I have to get the word of God in my heart so I can begin to speak that when the enemy throws something in my direction that was unexpected. Because when we get squeezed, what's in us comes out of us. Right? So if I don't have the word in me, but I've been filled up with all kinds of negative junk all week, and the first pressure cooker begins to be applied, then the negativity is going to come roaring out of me. But what I want in me is the word of God. So when the enemy comes and attacks and puts the heat to me, what pops up out of me is what God promised me. This is what God says you're going to have. You speak it out of your mouth, and because you have meditated in it day and night, and you remain steadfast on that principle until the breakthrough happens. First reports we've had when we were given negative reports, this can't be done for you. This is not for you. We can't put you into the system. This won't work for you. And I remember hearing that, but I wasn't going to live with that. I kept believing God because I knew God had a different plan. See, faith is nothing more than being determined to stand on what God has said and not be moved by what you feel and what you see. Make no mistake, the enemy has also got a plan, and that's to make you fearful and afraid and to retreat, to steal your faith, to have a defeated life. Peter, you remember, steps out of the boat in the middle of a storm. And Jesus has been walking on the water in the middle of the storm. And he begins to walk on the water to Jesus. As soon as he steps out of that boat, listen, the storm began to manifest right in his face. And he began to become fearful. And he began to sink. He had been in that boat with all the other disciples. And they were all sitting there doing little, no doubt, fearful of what was happening around them. Peter said, I'm going to get out of the boat. I don't want to just drift along in the middle of this storm. If that's Jesus, I want to go to him. I'll step over on the side, and I'll do something of purpose with my life instead of just floating along and letting the currents take me wherever. He got out of the boat, and a storm blew right in his face, and he looked at the results of that storm, high winds like yesterday and waves that were insurmountable, and he got so caught up with what he was seeing, he began to sink. And it's a lesson for everybody. When a storm comes against us, baby, and it will come against you and me, when the storm comes, you're going to have to get your focus off of the storm. You have to get your focus back on Jesus. Get your eyes locked back on him, meditating in the word and speak the word, because the storm is going to come. No matter what your color, no matter your background, whether you're broke or you're rich, the storm is going to come. And when the storm blows, that's when you have to be determined. My eyes are back on the master. I am back in the word. I'm standing on the word of God. There are times in my life when I'm in the word more than others. But the bottom line is we need to be in the word. And when your life is at stake, you got to get serious and you have to stand on the word in a whole new way. When God's at work in your life, and I hate to say it like this, but God will allow some storms to come in. And the storms will determine what you really believe. And they're gonna ferret out of you what's at the core of your being. The storms will determine where your faith truly is. If you're in a storm, remember the storm is a setup to discover what you believe. Tell somebody it's a setup. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. There you go. All right. Anybody going through any of this, any storm right now? Sure. Absolutely. And if you're going through something, don't allow it to get you down. Don't let fear to start to take over your thought processes, your emotions. So you begin to spiral out of control like Peter. I'm telling you, there's always a blessing because of the storm, coming out of the storm. Look for the silver lining. God's always got something great at the end of the storm. He has a blessing. That storm will bring some rain into your life. The forecast calls for rain, right? That's going to happen. So another storm comes. And once again, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat. They're afraid again. Their fears were those of being drowned. We're going to get swamped. We're going to drown out here. They're going to a watery grave. That's what they're thinking. Their emotions are taking over. Instincts are kicking in. Everything tells them we can't survive this. But Jesus saved them in that instance as well. Jesus, in fact, looked at them and said, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Do I have to do this for you again? Can't you see him standing there? Man, what's up with you guys? Don't you know I'm in the boat with you? Don't you know that no storm is too big to bring me down? And if I'm on board the boat with you, don't you know I'm going to get you through this thing? Don't you know no storm is going to drown me? He looks at his disciples who were filled with fear and said, boys, where's your faith? He knew the answer to overcoming fear is simple. It's to get as close to Jesus as you can. Hang on to Jesus, because you're always a winner when you hang on to him. You will not defeat fear in your life unless you stay close to Jesus. If you don't get in the right relationship with him, you can't overcome fear, because it's a spirit. And the point is, when Jesus is in your life, you will trust him. I know who he is, and I know he's never going to let me down. When your life is totally sold out to him, you've learned to trust him. And when he's Lord of your life, you're owned by the Lord. I'm your property. You paid for me. You bought me with a price. How many are owned by the Lord? Yes, I'm grateful to be owned by him. How many know that there was a high price? He loved you too much to live without you, so he laid down his life on your behalf and paid the ultimate price for you. Then you rest assured you can trust that kind of love. I will fear no evil because you are with me. And every person here listening to this, you're going to face some kind of a storm. It will come to everybody. But if you're carrying Jesus in your boat, you will outlast the storm, because storms have conclusions. Amen? If you're in right relationship with him, you're going to have peace that passes all human understanding. Well, everybody else is just going crazy, but look at you. You're just all relaxed. My God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Is your mind stayed on the Lord, thinking on the good things, thinking of the past victories he's provided, thinking that that same God is with me right now? I have stuff going through my mind at times that in the middle of the night, it would blow your mind. It's like, oh my goodness, that decision, this random stuff and attacks and all kinds of, listen, what do? I catch myself and I say, no, I'm going to think good things. I'm going to believe God for his best. I will think of God's plan for my life. I will think of the good report. I will think of the fact that he holds all the pieces and all the answers in his hand, and all I need to do is make sure mine is in his. And if you're going somewhere with your life, you're going to have a storm just because you're on a trajectory to do damage to the gates of hell. If you're not going anywhere, you're not going to have a storm. The storm says you must be somebody and you must be going somewhere. Because the devil doesn't threaten anyone unless they're a threat to his kingdom. But genuine faith doesn't mean you won't have storms. It means you won't have to panic in the storm. And when you have faith in God, you believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When you have faith, you're believing that all things are working together for good to those who love the Lord. You speak that word out of your mouth. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, I'm living under a blood covenant. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, wait a minute, the blood of Jesus is covering me. And if you're the kind of person who always goes into panic when a storm arrives, you're not going to have God's peace in your life. You're always going to be totally in an upset circumstance. To get back in right relationship, casting all your cares on the Lord, and though the earth should quake and the mountains fall into the sea, I will not be afraid, the psalmist wrote. I will fear no evil. Say it, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Jesus said, don't be upset because you're in a storm. Don't panic. It's natural. Trust me. Sleep well tonight. Let me take care of it. I'm the night watchman. I've got this shift. And since I'm going to be awake all night because I never slumber, nor do I sleep, go to sleep. I got you covered. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about it. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. You've got the word going on in your spirit. I have on the whole armor of God. So the word says the disciples, they went from the one side to the other side of the lake. They left the multitudes and they took Jesus at his command to the other side. In the middle of that journey, there was a storm. And if you're going to have the peace of God in your life, you're going to have to leave the multitudes and get alone with Jesus. Yeah. The master wants you to know he's God, and he'll be with you in spite of the storm. He's so big. He can bless you even when your job has changed and things have migrated in another direction for you economically. He wants you to know he can bless you even though that guy walked out on you and left you. And if you've ever watched professional wrestling, you know it's a fixed fight. You know. Now, I remember my grandma's best friend. She thought it was real, man. She used to come over and watch that, and she thought it was real. This is real. These guys, I mean, look at how they're fighting. This is real. You know it's a fixed fight. It's called World Wrestling Entertainment. If Jesus is on your boat, you may be in the fight of your life, I feel this, but you're in a fixed fight. The reason you can be in the biggest storm of your life and still praise him, you're in a fixed fight. Bills may pile up, you're in a fixed fight. The doctor gave you a bad report, but you're in a fixed fight. Jesus is asleep in the boat and the storm is raging. He didn't get upset. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't wringing his hands. He didn't panic. He didn't worry. Here's what the word says. He slept through the storm because he wants you to know if he's in your life, you can be at peace. Even though there's a storm raging all around you, you can trust Jesus in the storm. Amen. Right now, you're trusting in something. You're either trusting in the Lord, or you're trusting the circumstances you're seeing right now, or you're trusting in your bank account, or you're trusting in your career, or in the government, or the economy. Gosh, that's like a kindergarten class. Something. Even an atheist trusts in something, right? But as for me and my house, we will serve and trust in the Lord. My faith is in the Lord. It is. Yeah. And if I die, I've got nothing but gain. But I'll die trusting God. My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. You've got the word of the Lord now in your mouth. Speak it over the circumstance. You claim what God promised you. You proclaim it. You come with expectancy, even in the face of the storm. And when the fear comes against us, what we need to do is put on some courage. What's courage? You ask any Medal of Honor winner, every single one of them comes up with about the same answer. Different little words they use, but the same answer. Because the first thing they ask, well, you know, everybody else was afraid, but you stepped up and you did what you did. And I was afraid too. I just did it afraid. I had the courage to know it's the right thing to do. This is what I must do. This is what I'm trained to do. These are my friends here. And if I die in the process, so be it. I'm going to step into what I know to do, the right thing to do, even though I'm afraid. I'm going to do it afraid. The Lord is with us. So when fear comes against us, we put on courage. We might feel like running away. That's an instinct that everybody's built with. But when we face this thing with courage, when we come against what the enemy's thrown at us with courage, why do we have courage? Because, you know, the military person does it, law enforcement does it because they've been trained. We do it because we know God is on our side. We've been trained by his word. He's trained our fingers to fight and our hands for battle. Listen to the Greek. God's not given us a spirit of timidity. The devil's plan is to make you timid. He doesn't want you courageous. He wants you backing down, backing up, giving up. He wants you to be afraid to talk to anybody, to even speak about what you're dealing with. The devil wants you so afraid to confront crookedness or corruption. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. When you think about courage, so many people quit on the brink of their breakthrough. At the very last moment when it was just about to break in their direction, they throw in the towel and walk away. And you know why? Because it is the hardest moment just before you get the breakthrough victory. It's the most difficult moment. It's the challenge of your life. The enemy is a liar. But whatever you do, you cannot let fear hold you hostage any longer. In your marriage, in your relationships, in anything, life is too short to be held hostage. And none of us like confrontation, but sometimes you have to have a confrontation so you can set up boundaries in relationships. You know, God sets boundaries in our lives, a behavior of how we deal with one another, boundaries that he's put there for our safety. This is not acceptable in our relationship. Just because you happen to employ me doesn't give you the right to touch me. Nor does it give you the right to speak to me with filth in your mouth in our relationship as employee and employer. Sometimes you have to have a confrontation. And you don't do it in anger. You do it with the love of Jesus, but firm in your convictions. These are the boundaries. You take Jesus with you no matter where you are. You love, live, and lead like him. You take courage, and God will assist you. Just know in your heart, fear will hold you hostage. You can never afford to allow the enemy to do that to you. He will turn you into a slave. You have to believe what Jesus said. And sometimes things get worse before the improvement happens. Know that God is working it out. God's going to work it out. He always does. He always does. Ever notice that? You painted the worst possible scenario, and God worked it out in the snap of his finger. Let me tell you how fear works. You have a pain in your body, and you're afraid because your mama died from that condition, and it feels like the same thing. And you're afraid. But hear me. This is going to help somebody. There might be something wrong in your body, and you won't see a doctor because you're afraid. It's time for you to be strong and courageous and trust in the Lord. However the diagnosis turns out, know God is there to assist you, and he is with you, and he will help you. You may be instructed to change your diet. You may have to make some other changes in the way you go about the day. But you need to make up your mind, God's going to heal you no matter what, no matter how he does it. He may use a doctor to get you believing that you need to be healed. And that doctor gives you a prognosis or a diagnosis. Come against it with faith in God and with courage in your heart. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Courage simply means you face what you're afraid of because it's the right thing to do. You hear that in some of those World War II veterans this past week. Some of them who courageously went back to Normandy. And some of them who were taken through the fields there of row on row, who are fallen heroes who are buried there. And you see the cost of freedom. And you know when they departed those landing vessels and they looked up at those cliffs with all kinds of armament being fired in their direction, they knew a lot of them were never going to make it home. But they did it even though they were fearful. They had the courage to know the cause is worth the sacrifice. Amen? I'll be a conqueror because you fight for me. Amen? I'm a champion because I claim the victory through what you've done for me. You are the champion of all champions, right? So I need the faith of Daniel when he was in the lion's den. I need the faith of Moses when he was out there for four decades in the wilderness. I need a heart like David so I can face the giants that are facing me down with confidence that my God is greater than the threat that you pose in my direction. You're no longer allow fear to control you. You do the right thing. That's courage. I've seen singles dating people sometimes and, you know, they know it's not the right choice for them, but they, you know, they're fearful they're going to be alone and they don't want to be alone, so they'll settle for whatever happens in their lives because they're fearful. Make up your mind, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to make tough decisions, and God will help me. Satan wants to steal all of your blessings through intimidation and fear. And people who are fearful always fail. They just come short. God said to Joshua, you're about to go into your promised land. You're about to go take the best job you've ever had. You're about to meet the best person you've ever met. You're about to sign a contract for the best deal you've ever made. But be filled with God's word. Amen? Meditate in it day and night. Because about the time you walk in to get what is yours, count on it, the devil is going to pop up with his ugly face in yours. He will attempt to get you to go back to the mess God brought you out of and to settle for rather than say, no, I'm going to take what God promised me. Amen? Satan wants to steal all your blessings. Courage is nothing but the faith to confront your fears and trust God. And when the heat's turned up, you stand on the word. When the bottom falls out, you stand on the word. If you're operating in fear today, change your mind. Make up your mind, I'm going to speak the word of God from my heart. Speak it out of your mouth. Don't allow fear to control you. It's not your job to defeat Satan. He's already been defeated. But it's your job to be strong in the Lord and to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's your job to have a good report in your mouth. It's your job to step into your promised land by faith and take what belongs to you. Be strong and courageous. There are times when things are looking dead and you have to prophesy over a valley of dry bones. And when you have a dead issue in your life, the word tells us what to do. Speak it. Speak to your finances. Speak over your health. Speak over your children. Prophesy over them. And what's paralyzed you? What's neutralized you? What's intimidated you? Fear says, nothing's going to work out. Faith says, my God will work everything out. Faith is not a feeling, it's a decision. I walk by faith. And superstition is nothing more but another manifestation of fear. If you catch yourself being superstitious, because kind of handed down to you, you know, through your family sometimes, slap yourself. Yeah. I'm going to wear my lucky shirt. Slap yourself. I got a rabbit's foot on my key. Slap yourself. I will not fear walking under a ladder. I don't fear a broken mirror. I don't fear a black cat or a white cat or a purple cat walking in front of me. I don't fear someone putting a hex on me. You cannot curse what God has blessed. And the only way you can be cursed is if you believe you're cursed. Don't let fear come into your spirit. Some people are afraid of spells, hexes, voodoo dolls, potions. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. That stuff can't touch me. You don't have to be afraid of the root worker, because I'm a follower of the root of Jesse, Jesus the Christ. And the blood of Jesus will protect you. I still have the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of my life. I still believe in the blood over my home, over my spouse, my wife, my children, even the property that God's given to me. And when the enemy gets you to operate in fear, he makes you unstable in your thinking. Mental institutions are filled with people who've had nervous breakdowns because of instability in the way they think, because fear walked in and took over. And that's why the mind must be stayed on God's word. You stay in the word. Strip off any sin. Be strong in his promises. Now, the first reaction, I said, to fear is to run. But the moment you run, listen, the moment you leave and begin to run because fear is tracking you down, you're going to fail. If you run from a dog, he'll chase you down. If you run from fear, he'll run you down. You'll always be afraid of water until you take courage and take a few lessons to go all your life afraid of water. Bad experience, Pastor. Then take some lessons and overcome the fear. Satan's plan is for you to be afraid of people, of other races, to be afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit, to be afraid of a larger church, to be afraid. Fear says the devil is always winning. Faith says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Fear says you've got no hope. The word says, blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. And if my hope is in the Lord, I have a hiding place. It's in Jesus. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My Lord, my shepherd, he takes care of every need in my life. He delivers me out of all my trouble. God will deliver you out of all trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. When you're broke, busted, and disgusted, say, the money may not be here yet, but I'm a tither. And it's going to come to me. It's coming to me. I shall not want. Green pastures, stilled waters. He restores my soul. I fear no evil. You can praise the Lord in the midnight hour because he's working while you're resting. He's working all that trouble out for your good. He permits you to walk through the trouble so that you can wear the badge of courage. You say, wait a minute. This is not going to stop me. It used to stop me before, but it's never going to stop me again because I am not afraid. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Promises of God I'm giving you today. My God will restore all the years the locusts have stolen from you. My God is keeping track of everything the devil took away from you. My God will make it up to you. Your back is against the wall. That's when God does his best work. So what's the root cause of fear? Get down to the root of it. What's caused it? Some childhood experience. Abandonment. Physical. Sexual. Emotional abuse. What's the cause of your fear? Get down to the root of it and let God help you dig it out. Amen? But if all you do is just cut the top off, it'll grow right back again. So some ugly thing started a root of fear. I have the Holy Spirit available to me to help me, to come dig it up with me and deliver me. And I'm not going to back up, and I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to give up. Jesus is not just my Savior. He is my Lord, and His courage becomes mine. I'll say no to fear in Jesus' name. Amen. No to fear. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and give Him praise. Come on, stand and give Him praise.